Hi, this is Pastor Chuck Allen, and welcome back to another Sugar Hill Church weekday podcast. I'm so grateful that you are a part of these 5 days a week, 5 minutes a day. And be sure you share these with friends and neighbors, social media, so that we can just continue to encourage more and more folks. Today, we want to jump into the scriptures in a New Testament passage in the book of Colossians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 12, the scripture says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and to be thankful." Now, let's just stop right there for a minute and see how we're doing. In Colossians 3, beginning of verse 12, we're given this clear instruction on what the new person in Jesus looks like. We're told how to live this new life as a follower of Jesus, a Christian, and what that restored life should look like. If you've been around Sugar Hill Church long, you know that every time somebody's baptized, they're wearing a t-shirt that says hashtag redeemed, and the M-E in the middle of that is in bright red as a contrast to the dark and the light gray that's on the t-shirt. And this is what this is all about. The change in our life is not something we've done. It is something Jesus has done for us, in us, and through us. And as we read and study this passage, we need to remember that the Bible is not a book about people. It is a book about God and his dealings with people. In this case, God's dealing with us as his people. So as you examine the text, we have to always remember that God is always proactive. He's always taking the initiative. He took the initiative in creation. He took the initiative in salvation. And he takes the initiative in our sanctification. So God always takes the initiative. And then he calls upon us to respond appropriately. I believe there's five areas that God has taken the initiative to restore us, to redeem us, and the response that he expects from us as those who have been restored, who have been redeemed in fellowship with him. Number one, because he chose us, we enjoy favor with God. Now think about that. Because God chose us first, we have favor with him. He was looking for us. This is a big deal. The Phillips translation says, "Because you are picked representatives of the new humanity, purified and beloved of God himself." It means that God loves us and wants the very best for us. Number two, because he changed us, we love the people of God. Paul is clearly talking about unity in the church. And he goes on and he says this should be a heartfelt compassion. I mean, this is mercy or sympathy or empathy. That kindness doesn't happen without empathy, without sympathy. And so every one of us knows somebody like this, someone whose manner, whose smile, whose communication style just exudes kindness. And they never say a bad word. Listen, this is evidence of the Holy Spirit living inside of a believer. We're told to put on the garment of humility. Jesus humbled himself even to death on the cross, and he says we too need to be humbled. Humility enables us to be servants instead of insisting that others serve us. Can you see it? See, the question is this: will we give in to the pressures of this world and act like the world, or will we allow Jesus to have control of our life and live according to his mandates, regardless of what the world thinks? Well, it goes on and says, man, we forbear one another. We forgive one another. Oh my goodness. To forbear has this perspective of tolerating one another. It can even mean to endure. Listen, the only way we can do this is through forgiveness. Then we forgive one another. You see, I've seen people who call themselves followers of Jesus who have unforgiving spirits, and their pride is literally killing them. And in the midst of all of that, we have to look at this and say, wait a minute, this is not what I've been called to do. I've called to endure, to tolerate, to forbear, to forgive. You know what? I look at this and think, forgiveness is surrendering my right to hurt you for hurting me. Isn't that beautiful? Forgiveness is surrendering my right to hurt you for hurting me. See, to forgive someone involves three things. First, it means to forego the right of striking back. When we reject the urge to repay gossip with gossip and a bad turn with a worse turn. Secondly, it means replacing the feeling of resentment and anger with goodwill and a love that seeks the other's welfare, not harm. And third, it means the forgiving person takes steps to restore good relations. My friend, when you're focused upon praising God, upon worshiping Him, upon thanking Him for all He's done for you, it will keep you in His presence, mindful of His mercy and His grace, and mindful of our own unworthiness, and it will keep us from having a wrong attitude toward others. So today, let's forbear, let's forgive, and let's recognize we're to live in kindness because He first chose us. I hope you have the greatest day, and look forward to seeing you, of course, Sunday at Sugar Hill Church at 9:30 or 11. God bless you.